Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 680, we're going to talk about yoga with Jessica Rosenberg, who is doing something called Super Stretch, which is basically an app and a program for yoga for kids, a mindfulness practice for yoga for kids, which people are starting to get interested in. She's doing a Kickstarter campaign. We're going to talk about it as I wait in line here at the local coffee shop, getting ready for Jessica to show up here for podcast 680. Now, this gives me an opportunity to do a pitch for myself and for the Bob Davis Podcasts. If you're in the yoga business, you know, I'm doing these yoga podcasts now because it is a labor of love, a labor of passion to do the yoga podcasts, and I want to get them sponsored. So if you're in business in yoga nationwide, I got some great deals and opportunities for people to sponsor the Bob Davis Podcast, banner advertising on the site as well as advertising in the podcast, which can be digitally marketed. So all you have to do is send me a message through the contact page at thebobdavispodcast.com or at thebobdavispodcasts@gmail.com, and I can explain the whole operation to you if you'd like. But I would love to get some yoga specific sponsors for the yoga podcast that I'm doing at thebobdavispodcasts.com. I've known Jessica for a long time, and her passion is one of the, aside from many other things in yoga, you know, you were certainly my teacher. One of her great passions in yoga is teaching yoga to kids. And I think it's a great topic because, you know, so many people talk about different poses, they talk about the gifts, etc., but they don't talk about teaching kids yoga. And so what I know you're doing a Kickstarter campaign. I want you to talk about that.
Okay.
And what Super Stretch is, and then we'll go from there.
So currently Super Stretch is a teacher training program, kids yoga classes, and all kinds of different materials that you can get online from YouTube and SoundCloud that help kids get rid of anxiety and stress and challenges in your mind that make them unmindful, to become mindful human beings so that they can soar through life and be able to be really grounded in their body, so they can be balanced in their communication, and then they can have the ability to be really resilient.
How long have you been doing Super Stretch?
I started in about 2001. That was the first time I started teaching and really getting passionate about teaching mindfulness practices to children. But the most success that Super Stretch has had, or the adventures with Super Stretch has had, is the app, which is a top three health and wellness app for kids. Over 415,000 people have downloaded the app, and it's being used in schools and institutions, like on military bases. It's been used in yoga studios, and I've even seen like stroller moms have it, or kids in the back of the car ask for Super Stretch.
Really?
To calm down, and they want to take balloon breaths with Super Stretch so that they don't get upset or punch their brother because they're having a bad day.
And you're doing a Kickstarter campaign. Why are you doing a Kickstarter?
I'm doing a Kickstarter campaign because I have spent the past 5 years since the launch of Super Stretch in 2012 going to business meetings, writing business plans, talking to business people, and what I find, in all honesty, is that people want a whatchamacallit. So they want a pen that has invisible ink, or they want a napkin that'll wipe your face without touching it. And what I have is a lifestyle, and as I've already explained with all the different facets to the company, there's just so many things that Super Stretch is and can be that a lot of business people don't comprehend the magnitude of it. And in turn, I'm doing a Kickstarter campaign to focus on one of the successes of Stretch, other than the materials and the success that I've seen in children from doing mindfulness practices and doing playful movement practices that help sensory integration and balance out the hemispheres of the brain. The real success is the app, and what I'd like to do is make more in-app purchases and create a more robust curriculum.
In the app?
In the app. So I'm raising money for Kickstarter to build more content for the app that can be downloaded for kids to use for waking up, If they're tired or if they're really stressed, something like an 8-minute breathing practice to calm down. And breathing and movement practice to calm down. Or if they feel like their friends are teasing them at school because of maybe their weight or because they're having challenges with physical fitness, to learn some skills through the mindful movement practices of yoga through an 8-minute video.
So, and it's basically, it's just yoga, basically.
It's just yoga. Yeah, it's completely yoga. And then there has a gamification principle to the app. So they'll be able to get tokens. They'll be able to get rewards or take pictures based on how many poses they do, ultimately, once I raise my funds for Kickstarter.
How's that going?
It's a really challenging, vulnerable process, and I find that a lot of people don't want to give money to things that the program almost looks like a charitable program or a program for good. You know, it's tech for good, and it's a takes someone who either is really passionate about yoga or who is a kind of very broad-minded thinker.
Let's talk about the business infrastructure for yoga, because yeah. For yoga businesses, does yoga need its own financial infrastructure then? Because
I think yoga needs its own financial structure to pay teachers their value, to keep mom-pa shops afloat because they're competing against big box chains, to give scholarships to people to go to teacher training programs. There's so many things that you could probably do. A lot of times when I go into schools don't want to pay, so a lot of my work is free, and it's out of my own time and energy. And when I go into school systems, every school needs to have this, teaching breathing practices and movement practices to children, but they can't afford to pay anybody. So if we could find a way to educate the educators, or if there was a scholarship so that teachers could be able to get paid to go to trainings, that'd be awesome. Or that there was a portal that they could log into, which is what Superstretch wants to do on our website, and that there's a portal for teachers to get information or a lesson plan for the day or a video for the day. And most people find that the video works the best. That's why having a teacher coming in is the best to a school. So then they don't have to learn, and they can actually do it with the kids. And then the teacher or the caretaker or the person who is help facilitating your child's education can also be grounded, balanced, mindful, and resilient.
Let's talk about the materials and what Superstretch actually is. So it's an app, but then you've got these cards here that obviously people listening can't see.
But and teacher training programs.
So it starts, it's basically a flashcard program.
Well, the app is actually animating the flashcards. So my ultimate goal is to make it an entire digital program and a virtual platform, because that's the way that our world is working. And these characters, the kids really resonate with the characters, and the kids resonate with the mission. So the whole basis for all of Superstretch is that the kids join the team and realize and learn all kinds of golden rules or moral, ethical, positive ways of treating other human beings. And it's nothing is impossible. Always be honest. Make the world a better place. Act with kindness. Share with others. Trust and believe in yourself. Enjoy and have fun. And then in turn, that's an acronym for Namaste. And I tell the kids that is their secret word, so that they find their power within, which is truly tapping into their breath to be used to live wholeheartedly and be able to be a stronger, more authentic, true person, so that you can go out and do great things in the world and be super.
Well, we've had many conversations about, where yoga takes you. And it's certainly, you used to tell me things and I would say, okay. And now that stuff is happening.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what it would be like for a kid to start at an early age and do this. I've interviewed this family that sold everything and they're traveling the country, the Nomad Yoga family.
Uh-huh.
And their kid is about five, and you know, he's a Bikram teacher, the dad, and the kid is doing, he's doing the full series with the dad. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And he loves it. He wants to do it, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah. So yoga helps your body, your brain, and your heart, and the most important thing is that you become more proactive versus reactive in your life experiences. And it's really not about the postures. You can have the person who does the worst poses have the most profound, most self-aware, and most successful individual.
That would be me.
Good. There you go.
And on each card, what's on each card? So tell me about
it. On each card, and the front of the card, and you can buy this like off of Amazon, and you can buy it off of Superstretch's website, which is the easiest way to get the merchandise. Have on front a cartoon character, and each cartoon character lives in the 247 mindful pathway in the universe of Super Stretch. And each character on the front is a cartoon, and on the other side it's a picture of a real kid doing the pose with no copy. It just shows you how to do it.
And you have names, but you have different names for the pose.
There's different names for each pose and stuff like that, but I'm trying to find you something that's really cool to me. What happens is there are different postures for, say, if you feel stressed or depressed. If you do a forward fold, it calms your parasympathetic nervous system. So a kid doesn't know that they're doing Hani the Silly Monkey, but that forward fold for adults is getting your head out of your bumholio, and it's allowing you to reorganize your brain and send fresh oxygenated blood to it. And then when you roll back up, you flip perspectives, and you've cleaned out the space between your ears so that you can be more focused, have more clarity, and be able to be productive in work or a better communicator. And if you do a twist, it helps with like depression, and it helps with anxiety, because twists help to rinse out your body, as if you're like, we're at a coffee shop. It's like if you're putting something through a filter. That's what you do with your body when you do yoga.
It's pretty amazing what it does.
Yeah.
But see, when we do it, we don't, unless we have the body of knowledge that you have, which is amazing, because you've been teaching for a long time.
I have a PhD in yoga.
You do have a PhD in yoga. Tell us about you. Like, when did you start?
By trade, I'm an industrial designer, and I've always been fascinated with how things work. I mean, this kind of like gets me excited to figure out how to create integration and wholeness and alignment. And ironically, when I was younger, about 17 years old, I found a book at a bookstore, and from there, it's kind of like history. I just started reading the book, getting really into the philosophy, started to live that lifestyle, started doing the postures, started teaching Ashtanga without really having a certification. And then in 2000, 2001, I decided to take my first teacher training. So I left my career in the beauty industry to go and be a product designer.
And then you started teaching yoga.
Yeah. So I left my product designer career to be a yogi full time. And what a strange trip it's been.
How has it been strange? A long, strange trip.
Yeah. It's just... when you leave more of a career path that's a social norm, and then go and do something that is very ebbs and flows, and doesn't have a lot of consistency, unless you own your own studio, that's a different thing. Then you're running more of a business. But if you're an entrepreneur and then teaching for other studios or traveling around the world, your life is very varied and diverse, and it's very bright and exciting because you're doing all of these different things, but at the same time it also is sometimes not understood by the people that say raised you, or the people that you see. And then your world becomes social media, so everybody basically sees your story on social media, and that's how they think that your life is all the time.
Of course it isn't. Or they think that because you're a yoga teacher, your life is just happy all the time, and it's, you know, people don't realize what's going on behind the desk, you know.
Well, it's interesting. There's so Sanskrit, the ancient language of yoga, is the precursor to Romantic languages. like Latin or French or all that yummy, juicy languages. But there's a word called santosha, and santosha means happiness, sometimes defined as happiness. But truly, I like to define it as contentment. We're trying to find equanimity or balance in everything that we do, so we don't want to have the high highs and the low lows. Happiness to me, I know Oprah likes that word a lot, but to me it's kind of a fallacy, because if you really want to truly be happy, you just need to be content and find steadiness and find a really good balance between moving and stillness.
You know, it's really funny that you brought that up, because I'm, you know, I watch Netflix all the time.
Yep.
Until I exhaust everything, and then I watch everything else. There's a new documentary about Jim Carrey doing the Man in the Moon, when he did that movie.
Oh, yeah.
They videoed, he actually became Andy, you know, for that movie.
Yeah.
And they have a whole bunch of video. But anyway, they did an interview, and he basically just said what you said. He said, it took me, being a guy who had literally everything, had anything I ever wanted, being able to manifest really almost anything I ever wanted, to realize that, you know, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And he basically just said that contentment is really, really the issue.
It's
so
key.
He said that
it's like the golden key. I think that a lot of people, they strive for maybe monetary gains or to have something because they see that that's what everybody else has, but it might not be what they're truly trying to attain, because what you need to attain is contentment and ease within yourself, and that authenticity, then your life becomes effortless. But if you're just kind of craving money, or you're craving a fancy car, and then you get it, and then what happens? It's like...
Then you have to get another one.
I guess.
You know, and that's why some of these guys have 14 cars, I guess. I don't know. But
or 14 wives.
Well, yoga people need plumbing, too. And to that end, if you're in the Twin Cities, I want to talk to you about Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business. Right in Frogtown for four generations. You want reliable service when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. It's just weird to be standing in the coffee shop in line and doing these these commercials. But yeah, they go back four generations in St. Paul, and they can go from St. Paul to all the suburbs in the Twin Cities, Invergrove and Burnsville and Plymouth and St. Louis Park, as well as East St. Paul and St. Paul and Minneapolis proper. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. If you're in the yoga business, you know plumbing is always an issue, whether it's toilets or showers or any of that stuff. So again, if you're in the Twin Cities, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Well, we were talking about contentment, but would you say that you're content? Because you're pretty driven.
I am pretty driven, yeah. I ride the waves of life. How's that? With grace.
I try to think that I'm doing the same thing. why kids? I mean, what's your, you know,
well,
what do you...
Well, I teach adults. I mean, I'm a full-time yoga teacher and writer and content creator. So I think the reason that I want to be a thought leader with kids is because it's a new arena. And we have so much more things happening in the world than when, let's say, you or I were younger. There was no Facebook, social media. There was no... 7 screens a day that we were touching. There were no Fitbits or iPhones or things that were constantly creating ADD. And I just think that while adults are big souls and big bodies, kids are big souls and little bodies, and they don't always know how to harness the pure potentiality of who they are. And in turn, it can come out in fits and bursts. And then while Superstretch is trying to teach you how to be super, sometimes we become the opposite and we get really negative or down, and we can get caught in that ruminating black hole of depressiveness. And when the world right now is moving so fast, I think that it's really easy to go down the dark path and not choose the lightness. And that's why I want to work with kids. Plus the fact that I think that kids are playful, fun, they don't have preconceived notions. they have less walls built up, so they're more receptive to the knowledge.
Do they get mad when they can't do balancing stick?
Yeah, they laugh or they say it's stupid, but then we talk about things like that and why it makes them feel that way, and learning that practice is progress, and you have to take a step forward, and sometimes it's hard, but you have to get back up again. You know, all these life skills that I try to teach myself as an adult day to day.
Well, you've been teaching kids this is a long time thing. People need to know that you didn't just start doing this because you thought there was an opportunity.
No,
you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, it's been since 2001. I mean, my content, my books, my manuals are like, you know, 400 pages, and I have loads of research, and if anybody wants to listen to, once again, that SoundCloud thing, I'm doing all of these kind of adult classes and kids classes of lectures, and then they can kind of hear intentions and meanings behind why certain things are used in yoga philosophy, and different ways to learn about alignment in the body, mind, and heart. But I mean, I think the good thing is that I still teach adults all the time, and I teach adults the same way that I would teach kids.
Well, I don't see that there should be any reason why they shouldn't learn just like adults. You know, and my Nomad Yoga Family kid proves that, because he just stepped in because he wanted to do something with his dad. You know, they were all together on the road, and they were like, "Oh, look, he's doing this now." And it's kind of neat to watch. If you're a yogi, if you're somebody who doesn't understand yoga, or who is just being introduced to yoga, this might be your mentality about something like this might be a little strong. There might be some strong, and has there been a strong reaction where people say, well, you're teaching them some kind of religion?
But yoga is not a religion. It's a therapeutic practice to heal your body. It gets rid of toxins. It goes well and complements if you have a religious belief that you, it's not taking away from it. It's only enhancing it. And the other thing, too, is it just allows you to get closer to your beliefs.
You've been teaching kids a long time. How do they, what does that do? What does that do for you? And two, how do they react to it? In a large group, what happens over time? Because you've taught, you know, kids now who are probably practicing with us, you know, who are adults.
Some kids are adults. Like, there was a Bikram studio that was out north, and I just had the student that was my kids' yoga student come in with her father to do yoga in an adult yoga class. Yeah, so that was really cool to see, you know, that she's continued on and that she's doing it as a family thing to create connectivity. I guess I can say that for people who've never done yoga or are apprehensive about it, I've had a lot of adults, like, say they're trapped in from a snowstorm and they couldn't get out of their house to go to their gym that they go to, or people who just are like, oh, this is kind of ridiculous, my body can never do that. They've done the app, and they find it to be fun and easy, and it's not intimidating. Because it doesn't matter, like, what you wear to yoga. It doesn't matter what you look like in yoga. It matters, are you breathing?
Right.
And are you creating space in your mind? Because mindfulness doesn't mean your mind is full of stuff. You're never going to stop thinking, but can you allow the waves to kind of slow down? Can you find calm in the center of the storm and really feel that you're not like going to go to the Wizard of Oz or like the Land of Oz and get like all sucked up in the drama of life or the barbed wire that's wrapped around your head? But can you actually just find ease so that you're not clinging or grasping to things, or your inner critic or your dramas aren't taking you places, and you can just be like, oh, okay, there's that thing again, but it's not going to suck you up.
Right. You're going to just, you're going to be able to breathe through it.
That's mindfulness.
Yeah. And that's a very simple explanation of what it is, and it doesn't have to be any more than that. I mean, have you seen the Larry David, have you seen the latest Curb Your Enthusiasm episode on yoga?
No. look at it now.
She goes, namaste. And he goes, I don't think I'm going to say that. And then she kicks him out of class because he won't say namaste. It's funny.
Well, there's actually a really good podcast I listened to recently. A friend of mine sent. And it's how namaste isn't really what it should be. You know? I mean, to me... I mean, can I go this deep?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So when you put your hands in front of your heart, you're holding the preciousness of your heart. And there's ancient philosophy comes down through stories. So they believe that a storyteller named Patanjali, who could have been a male, a female, or a collective group of individuals, which I like to think it is, wrote all these kind of aphorisms, 196 aphorisms, to teach about yoga. Okay? And the Yoga Sutras, how to find wholeness. And let go of pain and suffering and find ease in your life. And when you put your hands in front of your heart and say namaste, you're actually acknowledging that that lightness within your heart that comes down, the words that fall from heaven, which is what Patanjali means. So these words fall from heaven into your hands and you hold them like you hold the preciousness of your heart and you allow yourself to be namaste, which is bright. So you're teaching yourself through yoga, not how to learn some scary religion or join a cult or like, you know, that you have to like start putting dots on your forehead or start wearing like loincloths. It's actually teaching you how to kind of like be yourself and to hold the preciousness of your heart in your hands so that in thought and speech and in action, you are a good human being to everybody. That you encounter, especially yourself.
Well, you know, I think that's the yoga studio is where all the work gets done every day, in my opinion. I mean, for me, that's when I do all my work.
Stuff. Yeah, that's where the messy stuff comes out.
You know? How many the other thing I want to talk about is the art and how many cards there are. There's a lot of them.
The flashcard deck?
Yeah. So you got a flashcard deck here.
There's over 60 plus characters in the flashcard deck. I think there's 74 like actual cards in the deck, but they are some of them are explanation cards.
But you created and drew all these too.
Yeah. Me and my friend created and drew all these fun things, and it teaches you how to find your superpowers.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. It's podcast 680. We are live at the coffee shop, standing in line, which is why I'm hushed, speaking in hushed yoga tones. And it's been great. Appreciate all the people that are doing yoga. And if you're interested, once again, in doing a sponsorship for whatever yoga business you're into, feel free to contact me through the BobDavisPodcast.com contact page or at thebobdavispodcasts@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Also, don't forget, Ryan Plumbing and Heating for quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Always important in the yoga business in studios. All you have to do is contact Ryan Plumbing at ryanplumbing.com in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. ryanplumbing.com. Again, thanks to Jessica, and check out Super Stretch. I'll put all the links up on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com.